Okay, we've been looking at Romans chapter 1. We're still in the introductory phase. It's very verses 18 through 32. Serves as a biblical explanation. What is happening, why it's happening, and if you know what is happening, why it is happening, you know pretty much, if the pattern plays out, what's going to happen next. And Romans 1, these verses here explain that, so it's really the cycle of man's sin and God's wrath. There's two main subjects in this passage, and that is sin and God's wrath against sin. And both are of a progressive nature. It is the nature of sin to grow, to progress. It is also the nature of God's wrath to progress. And we see that here in these verses. It illustrates the evolution of God and His Word being systematically pushed out of the national consciousness and the degeneration of a society, how a society becomes secular and then becomes secularized. And again, there is a difference. Society becomes secular in their thinking and then they become secularized. It shows us what happens when the aim and the emphasis and the goal is self. We see what happens. We see how that progresses. So what we have here in Romans 1 basically is a summary of human history. It's the spiral of depravity. It's how man loses his ability to reason in a sane way, to reason in a biblical way. It shows us how man loses biblical discernment, which is the ability to separate error and truth, right and wrong. Man does not seem to have that ability any longer. That's the progression of sin. It certainly shows us as these things progress, you have the loss of morality, you have the loss of decency, the loss of shame. We see this play out in the book of Judges as well. The loss of meaning. To most people today, life has very little meaning. Very little meaning in sexuality. Very little meaning in marriage. Very little meaning in the home. All of that, of course, leads to the devaluation of life in general. There's the loss of fulfillment, the loss of happiness, and Romans 1 pretty much tells us how we get there, how it all comes about. So what we see here is a people in the cycle of dysfunction and how that dysfunction becomes the norm. And you think about it today, the dysfunction that's just in families all through the world. And what makes it even worse is it's the norm. I mean, the norm today is not for husband and wife to stay married. That's not the norm. The norm today is not to honor the marriage bed. That's not the norm. So dysfunction becomes the normal, the new normal. And the danger of that is even those who try to live right, there's something in us which is dangerous, something in our flesh that wants to be accepted, that wants to be liked, that wants to be normal. But the new normal is abnormal. And this tells us how we get here. What we read here in Romans 1 is an expression of what Paul would later describe in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, the last days, perilous times. Perilous times. And he begins 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, that we ought to know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. We need to know that. We need to be aware of the times in which we live. You don't have to read the newspaper. You don't have to watch the news to know the times in which we live. All you have to do is read Scripture. The Scripture tells us the times in which we live. It not only tells us the times in which we live, it tells us how we got there. And it tells us, again, if you follow the pattern, unless the Lord intervenes and breaks the pattern, and He can, and He does at times, but unless the Lord intervenes and breaks the pattern, this is where you're going to end up. And that's true of a society. That's true of individuals. You follow this road, you're going to end up here, unless the Lord intervenes. And that's your only hope, that the Lord does intervene. What amazes me is how people can follow a road, they get here, and then they're surprised. They've been following that road for years. What makes you think that you're not eventually going to arrive here? And parents the same way about their children. And children are following a road, and they act shocked when they get to where they've been headed for years. There should be no surprise. There should be no shock. We just need to pray that God would intervene to break the pattern. So what is recorded here in Romans 1 and the order in which it is recorded is very important, and which we will notice should be a source of understanding and comprehending the times in which we live. So it describes 2 Timothy 3:1, perilous times. Perilous times. It's the same word perilous is the same Greek word used in Matthew 8:28. He's describing the demonics of two of the demonics at Gadara. And he uses the phrase exceeding fierce. And it's the very same word translated perilous in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. So, in the last days, exceeding fierce shall be the times, or perilous. But that exceeding fierce means, again, the word exceeding means something that goes beyond whatever is being described, in this case, fierce. So it's something that goes beyond fierce. That which is fierce is violent. It's hostile. It's aggressive. It's unrestrained. And so the times in which we live, which are being described here in Romans chapter 1, is that which exceeds violence and hostility and aggressiveness and that which is unrestrained. And that's where we are in our world, in our society, it is a time of unrestraint. It's like people just do whatever they please. And it's important to realize that, again, Matthew 8:28, this word perilous exceeding fierce, it's important to realize there in Matthew 8:28 that exceeding fierce, its origin was in that which was demonic. And I believe the perilous times in which we live has a demonic origin as well. I believe demon possession, demonic activity, is even greater today than it was in the days of Christ. We call it a lot of different things today. But you read what demons did in the Gospels, and we have all kinds of names for that. But there's no getting around it. There's demonic activity everywhere, and it plays into what we read here in Romans chapter 1. So then he goes on in 2 Timothy 3, and he mentions basically 19 characteristics of perilous times. And again, Romans 1 is describing those perilous times. There are perilous times when people are so in love with themselves, so self-centered, so self-involved, that they seek to gratify their own sinful lusts, no matter what the cost, filling their lives with pleasure, bent on pleasing themselves, no matter what. We live in a society that is in love with themselves. This is obvious in a lot of ways. People, selfies to me is one of the biggest things that scream self-love. I mean, it's one thing to maybe take a picture of yourself. Take a picture of yourself every now and then, I suppose. But people are obsessed. You know, they buy the sticks, and then they send it to everybody they can think of because they just got to want to see me. Everybody wants to see me, what I'm doing. And I've got news for you, they don't. But that's the way people think. And then when somebody sends them a selfie, they're not all that interested. Why are they sending me this? You know what? People that you send it to think the same thing. But people are so self-involved. Nothing matters but themselves. They set themselves up as the be-all and end-all of everything. They're puffed up with a false sense of their own self-importance. And they feel no need for God. When you're so important and when you're so good, what follows is there's no need for God. Not only that, there's no need for anyone else except for how you can use them to get your own way. And that's pretty much where we are in society. People have no sense of gratitude. Why? Because they're so good. They have an entitlement attitude. And again, advertisers feed that entitlement attitude based upon you're so worthy. There are perilous times when people are aroused and blinded by greedy desire for material things. They are bent on getting everything they can get and keeping everything they have. They're bent on it. And when the ideas of personal happiness and fulfillment are apart from God, disaster is sure to follow. And that's what we have here in Romans chapter 1. People think that happiness and fulfillment is found apart from God. History proves just the opposite. The Word of God proves just the opposite. The lives of individuals all around the world prove just the opposite. And yet people are bent on finding happiness apart from God. Times are perilous, of course, when there's a brazen openness about sin. Once you've removed God's standard, once you've removed God from your life, there's no fear of God. And once you become the most important thing, there's a brazen openness about sin. Not only that, not only is there a brazen openness about sin, people get offended when others do not accept and applaud their sin. And that's where we are today, where people are trying to force their rebellious lifestyle upon everyone. And they talk about tolerance, and they're the most intolerant people on the planet. Will not tolerate anyone who does not applaud their filth and their vileness. When there's little or no shame associated with evil, it's a perilous time. People are proud of their rebellion. It's a very perilous time. You know, I'm not saying by any means that when I was in school, high school, that things were godly. That's not what I'm saying. Believe me, they weren't. But I can remember even then, if a girl got pregnant out of wedlock, it was a shameful thing. But people don't really think anything of it anymore. It's the norm. You know, and even God's people, they'll hold baby showers. That's not right. You say, well, the baby shouldn't suffer. That baby doesn't know anything about the baby shower. That baby shower is not for the baby. I understand the baby gets the gifts. I understand that. But you can give gifts after. The baby shower is about the pregnancy, about the woman. I am not going to participate in a baby shower of someone who's not married or someone who's having a baby other than their spouse. Well, I don't want to make them mad. Let them get mad. That's not the issue. It's not the issue. They are perilous times when sin and open defiance of God's authority reaches all aspects of society. And that's what Romans 1 is explaining, how this ungodliness reaches all aspects of society, where you have a breakdown of the very foundations of society. And when the foundations crumble, you have nothing left. And that's where we are. There's a breakdown in the foundations. Stability, morality, discipline are things of the past, and when that happens, people become more heavily mired in the sin, more heavily mired in the very things that have brought them to this point. And that's brought out here in Romans 1. You have this cycle. Sin brings you to this point, and once you're at that point, you become more heavily mired in it, which brings the next set of consequences, the next set of results, which is, again, something that people do not understand today, is there are consequences. There are consequences to sinful behavior. And that has always been so. So there are perilous times when there's no regard for holiness of life and when holiness is ridiculed. And I expect the world to ridicule us for trying to live in a godly way. I don't expect any different from the world. But it is a shameful thing when those who profess to be God's people ridicule saints of God for trying to live a holy life. That is a very shameful thing. It's a perilous time when people are without self-control. And Romans 1, very plain about that. There's no ability or desire to discipline one's life. It's almost like a driverless car. That's the lives of many people. It's a driverless car. And that car is going to crash. People are going to be hurt. And that's what sin does. That's the progression. People lie, think nothing of it. They don't even know what lying is. They cheat, they think nothing of it. They steal, they think nothing of it. And they'll do these things and they'll crush anyone who gets in their way. You dare stand in their way, they will destroy you, or at least try. People possess no loyalty except to themselves. And people will do whatever they please without any regard for consequences. They're very perilous times when stability and morality and decency and honesty are farther in the past than they are in the present. And that's where we are. When we talk about those things today, stability, morality, decency, we got to talk in the past. They're further in the past than they are in the present. Wrong is defended. And that which is right and decent and God-honoring is mocked, ridiculed, and attacked. The result of all of this is you have a society that is drowning in dysfunction. That's where we are. That's Romans 1, I believe, explains how we get there. So again, what is stated here in Romans 1 is a very vivid illustration of perilous times. It's a very vivid illustration of the destructive cycle of such times. I feel sorry for young people today. I feel sorry for them because of the way they think, for one, that they are a big part of the problem. But I feel sorry for them because, really, they are in this cycle. And there's no hope. The only hope is the Lord does the miraculous and breaks the cycle in certain places, certain people's lives. Other than that, young people the people coming up today have no hope of things getting better. And if they do hope that, they're delusional. Because that's not the pattern. That's not where this road is headed. It's not headed for that which is better. It's headed for that which is worse. So the only answer to Romans chapter 1, which will be the very last lesson, is the gospel. That's the point that's being made here. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because that's the answer. The answer is not in society. The answer is not in education. The answer is not in politics. The only answer is the Lord. It's the only answer. The answer is not even in the family. The family's been destroyed. What is described as family today and what biblically constitutes family is two different things. So the family has a foundation, has been destroyed. I'm speaking overall of society. So we'll continue next week and we'll get into more of what is really said here in Romans chapter 1. But it's very important that we understand what is written in these verses. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God of mercy, God of long-suffering. Lord, we do thank you that you do reveal your ways to some degree in your word, and we thank you for that. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to draw from that. Help us, Lord, to always look to thee for the answers, for the solutions, for the remedies of what plagues mankind today. We pray, Lord, that you would be with those that are here and lost, that you would open their hearts to salvation this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.